politics without the soap opera, with unfiltered constitutional conservative truth. The Conservative Review with Daniel Horowitz.
And welcome back, fellow American patriots and Minutemen, standing at the ready to fight anew for the issues that matter in the way they matter, at the time they matter. And boy, are there many of those issues today here at CR Podcast. It is Tuesday, and it is April 16th, and this is your host, Daniel Horowitz, back here today with all hell breaking loose as of this morning in Congress. A lot going on. We have a war in the Middle East. We have a war in the United States Congress. And the two are tying together because we have no leadership in this party and movement. So we have false dichotomies of you either put foreign aid before America and obsess about it like Mike Johnson, or because we're so upset about Mike Johnson doing that, somehow we're pro-Islam and pro-Iran, when in fact we have major problems with Islam, both overseas, cutting off our shipping lanes, but even more importantly, in what we saw yesterday, low-intensity terror attacks. Make no mistake, the blocking of vital infrastructure is low-intensity terror attacks by random roves and droves of Muslims in this country that should never have been let in, and clearly are getting directions at an organizational level from Hamas and IRGC. So we have a big problem. So in addition to Johnson screwing us on invasion, inflation, indoctrination, giving the Democrats everything they want on the must-pass bills, now he's gratuitously misusing the Iran attack on Israel to focus on Ukraine and maybe Israel funding, when it's really the policies vis-a-vis Iran, the Biden administration vis-a-vis Israel, and really we need to be focused domestically on what we let in, but instead it creates this entire false dichotomy. So we're going to have Lee Smith coming up, really one of the foremost experts on what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on there. But first, we'll talk about what is going on right here at home, with the underlying issue of Iran's attack on Israel and the millions of Iranian Hamas supporters in Western countries, including our own, as well as the fallout with Speaker Johnson pushing more foreign aid and the motion to vacate. As of right now, it has not been pulled, but Thomas Massie is promising to support it. And then, of course, as always, if you're talking about any fight within the Republican Party, there is one man who looms very large. Now, our sponsor today is our friends at FastGrowingTrees.com. Those who plant in tears will sow and reap with joy. Now is the time. If you don't plant now, your yard won't look beautiful in May and June. FastGrowingTrees.com now has 2 million customers in the U.S. They have everything from fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, shade plants, privacy, indoor, outdoor. They are all top quality, and you don't have to pick them up. It's very convenient. They arrive at your door within a day or two, very quickly. They come quickly, they grow quickly, and they have their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. So, you don't literally plant money into the ground and see nothing from it. I have made use of their plants for years outdoors, and then now this past year indoors. We have a bunch of these cardboard boxes now, big boxes outside. We've got to get rid of it because of all the deliveries we have had, because it is my wife's favorite sponsor of this show. So join us today, this spring, in getting the best deals online to beautify your slice of the American dream while you still have it. You get an additional 15% off, by the way, if you use promo code CONSERVATIVE at checkout. That's an additional 15% off. FastGrowingTrees.com. It's spelled the way it sounds. Using promo code CONSERVATIVE at checkout. Offers valid for limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. So a while ago, the Senate passed a package which provides $60 billion in aid for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel, $4.8 billion for Taiwan, and like 9 billion for Gaza, aka Hamas. I mean, it's literally hilarious because you're funding both sides of a civil war. So you give Israel funding, then you give Hamas funding. Johnson is pushing for, of course, they'll just play games with the numbers. So rather than 60 billion for Ukraine, he's pushing 48 billion. Israel would be the same 14. Another few billion to combat Taiwan, to help Taiwan. And then 2.3 billion to combat the Houthis, which, again, it is something that needs to be dealt with, but that should be the number one priority of our existing trillion-dollar military. Meaning, what's with a supplemental? That's why we have a military. We have, by a mile, the most expensive defense spending in the world. And we can't defend against these fifth-century retards. So don't tell me we need more money for that. It's not a money issue. It's a policy issue. And if you don't address the policies, you could throw as much money at countering Houthis, countering this, helping Israel all you want. It's not just a matter of you're using that to blackmail conservatives who support Israel to throw into the money pit of Ukraine, which is counterintuitive in many respects because Ukraine has depleted the weapons cache that we allocate for Israel. But also, it's just stupid as a standalone proposition too. Because, again, it's kind of like throwing money at the border under the current policies. It's a policy problem. So you're just throwing money into the current policies. Sure, Senate Democrats have no problem giving money to Israel as they tie their hands, as they work with Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas to attack them, plus give the PLO and Hamas more money. So that needs to be the focus. Johnson plans on basically doing four bills. It's all a shell game. This was his plan. Again, it's very fluid by the time you hear this. But as of now, four bills, one for Ukraine, one for Israel, one for Taiwan and sundry things, and then a fourth one to ban TikTok, which is kind of weird. And then the rule they would write out of committee to send it to the floor would then have the effect of once they pass, it would tie it together as one package. So you'd be like, well, what's the point? The point is to tell members, well, don't worry, you're only voting for Israel. You're voting for Taiwan or to ban TikTok or whatever. So that's how you buy everyone off. It's just disgusting. And then it all comes together and goes to the Senate. Now, by the way, the Senate would have no problem passing it as one. Again, Bernie Sanders has no problem voting for aid to Israel under this administration, even the most anti-Israel ones, because it's a joke. It's blood money. But moreover, it's not a matter of the procedure. Even if they would literally pass it standalone, it wouldn't matter anyway. So then the Senate would pass the Ukraine standalone, maybe some of the other ones, and it would be signed into law. Either way, it shouldn't be passed. Either way, it doesn't matter how slim your majority is. You control the rules of the floor. You should not be passing Democrat priorities. One after another. So Thomas Massie stood up in conference and said, you need to go. He said, spoke directly to Johnson, said, you need to go. I support the motion to vacate. We talk about the issues that matter at the time they matter. Right now, if we had a functional movement, the fire should be trained on Mar-a-Lago. This fight will be won or lost in Mar-a-Lago, not in D.C., because that is where the power resides. Johnson cannot survive without Trump. So the message, most of my colleagues, or almost all of them, are in agreement today Johnson needs to go. But remember, Johnson has only been able to screw us on everything so far with Trump support. Let's not forget, the Ukraine bill that he's bringing to the floor is with Trump support. So if you want to fight this and you want to see this succeed, you need to take the fight to Trump. Now, why should we hope this succeeds? Because as I've mentioned before, the best thing we could hope for right now is a paralyzed House. You know me, I don't support paralysis as an end to itself. I support governing properly. And that's why last year, let's build towards a viable budget government shutdown fight. But now that that's over with, the only thing Johnson could do is pass standalone Democrat priorities. Remember, we've gone from Johnson and Republicans being like, oh my gosh, every appropriation reauthorization bill is a must pass. We have to telegraph to the Democrats that we will give them anything they want because we fear letting that timeline lapse, that deadline on whatever that authorization or appropriation bill is, we are scared of having it lapse, more scared than the left, so we'll give you everything we want. So it went from that to now just any standalone. I don't know, what would happen if Democrats would say we need gun control? Would Johnson say, well, we have a narrow majority, I have to work with them? No, you control the floor, just don't bring it to the floor. By the way, speaking of control of the floor, it's funny. Bob Good stood up in conference and said, look, if you're going to do this, at least get border security for it. And he said, no, border security is not germane. Wait, what? Let me tell you something. The Senate has stricter rules because the Senate is more of a member-driven body. In other words, the Senate majority leader doesn't control the organ as much as the speaker controls the House. Germaneness is up to the speaker. Okay, let's be honest. And the proof is in the pudding. So you mean to tell me banning TikTok, and I know that's a complicated issue that's debated on the right now, but that's germane to Ukraine funding or Taiwan funding or Israel funding, but border security is not? I mean, what? I mean, they're at least the same. So again, it's all a lie. It's all gaslighting. The GOP is the WNBA of politics. Okay? Nobody needs this. Nobody wants this. Right? Why is the WNBA such a joke or a punchline? Because it literally offers nothing. Right? They're 100 times worse than regular NBA players at, the actual game. And they're just a bunch of disgusting, ugly, butch, lesbian. They fight with each other and they try to fight like men and act disgusting. It's like nobody wants that. It's like, sometimes people watch, tennis or whatever. You know, there's certain female sports that they'll watch. There's a grace to it. There's a feminine aspect. Obviously some people beach volleyball for obvious reasons or whatever. It is what it is. But the WNBA has zero purpose. And that's what the GOP is. Okay, they offer nothing the Democrats don't offer. They're just more pathetic about it. So that's why right now, strategically, the best thing would be to turn out the lights on the House. The answer is we can't get anyone better because Johnson is a reflection of half the conference, because the Republican Party is fake, because we have slept in primaries. We have allowed Trump to endorse a lot of these people for years, even when we were building momentum to fight it. So what happened was we have two parties within a party. The Democrats don't have this problem. The Republican Party is not a party. You can't govern like that. So all you're going to get is the Democrat wing of the Republican Party working with the Democrats. So done. Now, one more thing on this point. Some of you might be like, okay, well, headed forward, who says the motion to vacate will succeed? Maybe this time the Democrats will totally vote with Johnson. You know what? If they do that, let it happen. It's happening anyway. My point is, we've reached rock bottom. Any reason you wouldn't want this, we're done. So if they go and bail him out and give him a majority on, the first vote would be motion to table the motion to vacate. So if they vote yes, meaning we're going to kill the motion to vacate, which would mean he survives, then let it be out in the open. And then, and now Trump is backed in a corner that he cannot support a guy that is being propped up by the Democrats. Let it come out in the open. We talk about this in the red state legislatures. You can't continue going on having Democrats getting free policies under the Republican banner. The best thing is for us to govern, but clearly that's not an option at this point. So then the next best thing is to have it out in the open so we can actually work to do surgery in the future. You can't do surgery when you refuse to recognize the problem. But let's move on to the broader issue here. This is a serious problem. What's so sad about having a fake opposition is that it's not like we don't need to do something. It's not like, you know, there is no problem with what we're seeing with Hamas and Iran, both overseas and, more importantly, in America itself. It's just not about giving foreign aid. And unfortunately, as we've noted many times, it's created this false dichotomy. So it allows the Tucker wing of the party to rightfully take a look at it and say, wait a minute. You have no alacrity to deal with our issues, but the minute something happens in Israel, oh my gosh, we got to do something. Now, again, the do something is insidiously pushing Ukraine, which not only has nothing to do with it, but again, is actually depleting the weapons cache for Israel. And B, it's not about giving them money. It should be about countering Biden's policies. If you don't counter the policies and use the few strategic leverage points you have to do so, then there's no, you could send them $1 trillion. It won't help. You know what I mean? You could send them all the weapons in the world, but if the Biden administration literally green lights Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah to attack Israel, then what's the point? And then, of course, is the problem here. You know, and in other Western countries, we saw over the weekend, obviously, a Muslim went into an Australian Orthodox church and stabbed four people. And then we had here yesterday, the Hamas bros were blocking the entrance to O'Hare Airport, the Golden Gate Bridge. They were in Oakland. They were in New York City. They were in D.C. They were in San Antonio, Los Angeles, Philadelphia. So this is more of an action item at a state level, really, that we need mandatory minimums of 15 years. Because this is not a protest. That is terrorism. You can't do that. Remember, even in the worst look of January 6th, no normal American was affected. This is on the Capitol grounds. So our government views that as more severe because that's an attack on the government. No. An attack on the American people is actually worse, disrupting their lives. That is why we have government at its core. And it just went on all day in some of these places. And then, of course, a lot of people, you might have seen the videos, they had a protest in Miami. A couple of them started to get on the street. Within minutes, the Florida cops were dragging them off like sacks of flour. And then the Florida Department of Highway Public Safety put out a note that anyone who blocks traffic will be immediately arrested. This includes any act that obstructs the normal flow of traffic, such as standing, approaching, or endangering the safe movement of vehicles and pedestrians. Done. Again, things always seem to get done in one place. Also, Iranian reporter Vahid Beheshti, points out he put on his Twitter, it's VAHID_BEHESHTI. He has an internal IRGC document in Persian, Farsi, between two senior commanders admitting that the effort to cripple transportation and shipping on April 15th, that was yesterday, is an IRGC operation. So just so you know, that means it's not just that we have thousands and tens of hundreds of thousands of subversive Muslims living in America that sympathize with jihad. And make no mistake about it, as you see in their chants, their hatred for America is at least as equal as their hatred for Israel. It goes together. So it's not just their sentiment, but clearly it's not like, oh, they're just a bunch of radical Islamists that just organically poured out onto the streets. No, the sorts of like CARE and MPAC and all these Muslim Brotherhood branches that street organize these people, they have IRGC and Hamas and Hezbollah on speed dial. Just understand that. So this is the joke, as Johnson, it's like everything's backwards. We need to, there's Iran attacks, so we need to give foreign aid, and we need to pass FISA because to spy on Americans and January 6ers because there might be Islamic terrorists, while we allow them to openly engage in low-intensity terror attacks like they did yesterday. That's where obviously the focus should be. But as we know, the FBI doesn't really have much interest in them. And by the way, again, just speaking of the policies, here's the sort of bill that House Republicans should be passing and attaching to an Israel-only funding bill that's paid for by abolishing thousands of IRS agents. That was the original House-passed bill. Let's not forget, the House passed a bill to fund Israel, okay, you know, give them the weapons, which, again, it's a complicated issue because, like I've said before, the Biden administration waged war on Israel, you know, at a time where they are reliant on us for weapons pursuant to our defense agreements. So, but it had legitimate cuts of something that we all hate, which is the IRS. Okay. So one thing you pass on is that you can't allow visas to Iran. And yet we're not doing that. Iranian Foreign Minister Amir Abdollahian was granted a U.S. visa and is scheduled to travel here on Thursday. The Foreign Minister of Iran is coming to the U.S. So they bomb a U.S. ally with 350 drones and ballistic missiles, and their Foreign Minister, their top guy, gets a visa. See what I mean? It's a policy issue. That's where this is. And it's the subversion. The response to what's going on is using authorization and budget bills to block all aid for so-called Palestinians in the PLO and Gaza and Hamas. Block all aid for the Lebanese armed forces. Prohibit the special diplomatic status we gave to Qatar. Cut off all funding for the joint, whatever that's called, the JFPO, the Iranian deal, the Iran deal. Defund all U.S. diplomatic missions promoting a two-state solution. Remember, here you're doing America first, siding with Israel without spending a penny. In fact, you're cutting off funding. Cutting off visas to PLO, Lebanon, and Iran, frankly, Iraq, too, should be part of that. I mean, we're now at a situation where Jordan and Saudi Arabia are more pro-Israel than the American regime. It's pretty amazing. And then we need to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, and that includes, and yes, that will rope in basically every major Muslim organization in America, but don't shoot the messenger. It's not my problem. That's what they do. And shut off visas to all these crapistans. That's a pro-Israel bill. You know, there's this trend around, like, in some of these states are passing, like, anti-Semitism bills. And some of them are written properly. Others do flirt with some First Amendment issues. So, again, like, this is the problem. We let in a bunch of hyenas, and then we're like, surveillance and civil liberties. How about you don't let them in? And how about those that are overtly engaging with the organizations, you designate them as terrorist organizations? That's how you combat the problem. I mean, because that's where the fight is. Again, what you don't want to do is, just because Johnson is being an idiot here, just saying, oh, Israel's the problem, and then do the full Tucker or something that rhymes with it, and, you know, side with the Andrew Tates of the world, who claims to have converted to Islam, and downright start promoting Islam, because we do have problems here. This is from the Jerusalem Post. The Anti-Defamation League has a report out. Now, it's kind of rich because the ADL, as I call them, the Arab Defense League, they are pro-Islam. It's a leftist pagan organization that claims to be pro-Jewish and fight anti-Semitism, but in fact, they create more anti-Semitism, and they're part of those leftist pagan Jews that have, you know, joined with other leftists to advocate to bring in the very people doing this. They came out with a report that there were 8,873 anti-Semitic incidents in 2023, and the bulk of them occurred after October 7th at the end of the year, as compared to only 3,697 the entire previous year. So in other words, there were like 60% more attacks in the final three months of 2023 than the entire year of 2022. That's a record since they've been tracking it over 40 years. It includes 161 assaults, 2,177 vandalism, 6,500 harassments. And, of course, what they leave out is, who do you think is causing them? Okay, who do you think is causing those attacks? Is it white supremacists? Neo-Nazi groups? You know, probably a couple basis points of that is thrown in there. Although I would argue that even the increase in that is probably emboldened and buttressed by the 99% of it, which is from Islam. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say 99% really, because I do actually think there is a meaningful percentage among, unfortunately, American blacks who are not Muslim or necessarily Muslim. Not saying it represents a majority of blacks, it's a minority, but it is very evident. So it actually wouldn't be 99% Arab. Probably somewhat split between Arab and black. Again, it's not white. that's just a reality. You know, you could kick or scream, but the ADL, which is an anti-white, pagan, pro-Islamic, leftist organization, they're a part of that. I call them the Arab Defense League because years ago, there was a case where a bunch of, like, a couple of Jewish teens, it was in Jersey or New York, one of those places, was attacked by Arabs, and they defended themselves, and the ADL sided with the Arabs. So that's why I call them the Arab Defense League. But that is how they are. So this is what's happening here. We have a major issue here. It's a Muslim Brotherhood subversion. It's an Iranian Muslim Brotherhood spy network in the administration. It's the administration's policies overseas. It's an immigration problem. Foreign aid is distracting, and it divides the right and creates needless, by throwing in Ukraine, not only is it wrong, it fuels this growing reactionaryism on the right, which we really should want to tamp down and don't want to head through this false dichotomy. So with that, I want to get to our next guest to discuss what is actually happening in the Middle East itself. So folks, those of you who do focus on the domestic issues like I do all the time, immigration, inflation, invasion, indoctrination, all of it, but you want to keep abreast as to what is going on in the Middle East and the Biden administration's fingerprints upon it, Lee Smith is really one of the best follows. He's a columnist at Tablet Magazine. I find myself like refreshing the page there to see if, you know, he wrote a new column. I read very few other people, but this is one that I read to get up to speed. You could follow him at Lee Smith DC on Twitter. He is also the author of an important book, The Permanent Coup, How Enemies Foreign and Domestic Targeted the American President. And of course, he's with us in the flesh today. Hey, welcome, Lee, to Blaze Media. Good to have you back.
Hey, Daniel, thank you so much for your very kind and generous introduction. I really appreciate it.
All right. So I know you're in high demand this week. It's kind of the Super Bowl for you. So, you know, what were Iran's basic objectives? Obviously, you can't look at the immediate events preceding Iran's attack, you know, the Israeli strike on the IRGC commanders in Damascus, it's part of a broader thing that started with October 7th, the two-front war that they're under by, or really three-front by Iranian proxies, the Houthis in Yemen, Hezbollah in the north, you know, the Hamas in the south. Israel's about to go into Rafah, which is really where they told Hamas to hide. So they're all hiding out there. And the Biden administration is like, you better not do it. You better not do it. And then suddenly we have this. So what were their objectives and did they achieve them?
Well, I mean, the big win is that Iran showed publicly that the Biden administration was restraining its traditional Middle East ally, and so that's enormous, right? I mean, of course, this has been going on in Gaza. We know the Biden administration also pushed Israel not to do anything about Hezbollah in Israel's north. But the fact that the Biden administration messaged this, as did the Iranians, that they were holding back the Israelis while the Israelis sat under a, it was first reported when this was happening that, drones were on the way, and this seemed almost, you know, pathetic that these slow moving drones were on the way and the Israelis would have a little problem dispatching them. But then we found out that there were ballistic missiles and cruise missiles also, and this is very serious. So it was a very serious attack. And the idea that again, this is the major strategic victory for Iran, that the United States restrained its traditional Middle East ally. And I want to say, again, thank you for your introduction, but I want to point out this is not simply a foreign policy issue. This is not about foreign affairs. What's happening right now, the Biden administration's partnership with the Islamic Republic of Iran has had and will continue to have very dramatic effects on how we live here at home. Part of that you see, of course, the different roadways that were closed down yesterday. I'm sure many of your listeners saw what was happening in Seattle and San Francisco and Chicago and New York as pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah, pro-Iran demonstrators shut down American roadways. Now in Florida, they managed to get these people off the streets quickly because that's how that Republican governor handles things. But elsewhere around the country, these are perceived, these protesters, these lunatics are regarded as core components of the Democratic Party's base. So this, I mean, we can see that effect, but the effects will be even more dramatic as the Iranians at the Democratic Party's behest are taking more and more control of the Middle East. This will affect greatly the way we live at home, everything from trade routes to energy costs. So again, I know you're right. It's foreign policy, but this is going to affect us dearly at home too.
One of the things that concerns me politically, and I know you wrote a great column on this a couple months ago. I read almost verbatim. What I'm concerned about is because of the pathetic wing of the Republican Party in the way they deal with this, it spawns a reactionary wing from people like Tucker Carlson. So in other words, if I'm a guy that's just really upset about what's going on in America and that Johnson gave up so much leverage on the budget, on the NDAA, on so many things and FISA and now this, and then, you know, you listen to their statements as we're talking, literally, it's like, if we can't go ahead and promote democracy overseas, we don't have a majority. And I'm thinking, well, what about the border? And so people notice that they have a bunch of alacrity for everything that's not in America. Now, obviously, we don't support this endless Ukraine aid and whatever, but they wind up lumping it all in. And they get very upset. And then it's like, you know, you have this element on the right that now comes full circle, almost sounds like the left. Right. When in
exactly. A lot of what's happening here is this is the point of the Biden administration's communication strategy, right? The people they're targeting now are normal people on the right who are pro-Israel and who like Israel, but who are wary of any foreign entanglements, especially managed by this leadership class. So that's who they're targeting. And then you see that they also, the Biden team, the Democrats, also recognizes that there is a segment of the right, the people at least describing themselves on the right, who are promoting, who are effectively promoting pro-Iran, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah interest through their social media influencing, right? And I think it's fair to say when people on the right are lining up in the same column as the Iran, the Barack Obama originated Iran echo chamber, I think it's fair to say these people, it's not a right-wing position. It's not a Republican position. Republicans may feel, look, we're tired of foreign wars. We're tired of foreign entanglements. We're still pro-Israel. We're not pro-Iran, right? But once you see people lining up on the pro-Iran side, that's a Democratic Party position. That's it. That's all there is to it, right? Donald Trump is a Russian spy. It's not a Republican position. January 6th was an insurrection. It's not a Republican position, all right? Men can give birth to babies is not a Republican position. And supporting Iran, Palestinian terror movements, and Hezbollah is not a Republican position, right? But we see that this is the Biden administration's comm strategy to turn different segments of the self-described right into part of the echo chamber to reinforce Biden administration Obama faction messaging.
Because we could say what we want.
Confused about what's going on.
We could say what we want about the foreign aid. You know, maybe they need more weapons, maybe they don't. But the main thing is the policies. Like, I mean, that's why the Senate Democrats have no problem signing off on aid.
There's a very strong, and in fact, I argue it should be the mainstream right-wing position on Israel aid, which is that, you know, in Tablet, two of my colleagues, Jacob Siegel and Leah Leibovitz, wrote an important article a year ago saying that that Israel should cut itself off from U.S. aid. And of course, there are many Israelis on the right, Caroline Glick comes to mind, who argue the same case, that this would be better for Israel and it's better for the United States. And in particular, it's better for the American right, since so much of that money given by Washington is used to create Democratic Party encampments abroad, including inside Israel. So no, it would be a very good thing for Israel to separate itself from that USA, because the Democrats will use it to build encampments abroad that hurt not only our foreign partners, but that also hurt Americans here, that hurt Republicans here at home.
No, there's no question. Obviously, they're helping funding a color revolution. I look at the Iranian spy network inside this administration, and to me, it's inconceivable they didn't know about this Iranian attack. What do you think?
Well, no, the administration knew about the Iranian attack. I mean, they're denying it now, but I mean, it's been all over the papers. But look, there's another crucial fact here. The fact is that the White House basically ran the communication strategy, and the days leading up to the attacks, there's, you know, repeated leaks coming from the White House about how Israel is expecting an attack. Everyone's been expecting an attack. Here's what should happen. Here's what shouldn't happen. So no, of course, the Biden administration knew what was going on. The question is whether the United States also had a sense of what was going to happen on October 7th.
That was my next question.
That's an important, it's a very important, outstanding question. And I think that what we've seen over the last week, especially over the last few days since the attack, is that raises that question once again, and it needs to be answered. It's very important.
Do you think there is a turning point with Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and some of these other Sunni countries? For a while, since Trump left office and we've moved away from the Abraham Accords. So rather than driving a wedge between Iran and everyone else, which was the Trump administration policy, Biden has sought to drive a wedge between Israel and everyone else. Do you think that's reversing?
I think people are misreading what happened very profoundly. Right. First of all, those air defense systems are not built or maintained by the Saudis and Jordanians. Right. I don't have a lot of insight into this yet, but I suspect that that these air defense systems were manned by American forces. Of course, we have American troops stalled throughout the Arabian Gulf, as well as in Jordan, right? So I imagine that's what's happened. But look, here's the big picture on this. It's not that Saudi and Jordan have proven their desire to have warm relations with Israel. It's the fact that Israel's defense, the defense of a sovereign country, is being outsourced to regional players as well as international players, right? What should have happened here is clear. Well, if the Israelis knew that there was going to be an attack, or immediately after the attack, they should have responded immediately, right? Yep. That's who's responsible for defending Israel. Not Saudi Arabia, not Jordan, not France, not the UK, or not the US. Remember, the foundational principle of the U.S.-Israel relationship is this. The Israelis are there, what Alexander Haig called the unsinkable aircraft carrier in the Eastern Mediterranean. The purpose of the alliance is to fight on behalf of American interests, right? The way the Biden administration has revised this is to make it look as though, no. We're defending the Israelis, right? And again, that's intended to poison the right.
Yep.
And it's just not the way it's supposed to happen. So no, people are misreading profoundly what happened with Saudi Arabia and Jordan. And look, the other thing is that the Biden administration is looking to pressure the Saudis. The last thing the Saudis want public is that they would be helping Israel. A normalization deal is something else. But while everything is still going on in the Palestinian territories, the Saudis don't want that kind of heat. Neither do the Jordanians.
So basically, right?
It's more calm strategy, and it's a project to strip Israel of its sovereignty and of its ability to defend itself and its citizens.
Well, Republicans have made it so easy for them to strip our sovereignty, so Biden got a little bit bored, so he's taking his roadshow over there. And I love what you're saying about stripping Israel of its sovereignty, because what you're describing to me is almost like a picture of someone taking, let's say Israel as a child, and you grab, hold them, and hold them out in front of a pack of pit bulls, but then also kind of protect a little bit too. So it's like, here you go. And you start scaring and threatening them. It almost seems like it's like, hey, we wouldn't want you to get bitten by the Iranians, would we? Is that what it was, that they're green lighting, but then shielding them, or fake shielding them, and then hamstringing them at the same time?
Right. The approximate purpose for the Biden administration. Look, let's bracket for a second whether or not it greenlighted the operation. I think it did, but let's bracket that. The reason that what we're calling an unprecedented attack on Israel, the reason that's important for the Biden administration is to show, see, if you don't get out of Gaza, we might not be around next time to help with all this air defense. You wouldn't like that, would you? You need our air defenses, don't you? So that's the proximate cause. They want a ceasefire in Gaza.
So you're saying the Iranian attack was a leverage against the potential Rafah operation?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Before I let you go, just one more thing back to the U.S. My biggest observation since October 7th is that I felt like beforehand, the Muslims in America were kind of quiet or quiet-ish. I mean, obviously the Muslim Brotherhood NGOs were operating, for decades, but I'm just saying kind of at a street level. And then since then, it's almost like they feel they've reached critical mass to start acting like Europe.
Right. And that's why Americans, unfortunately, Americans are very much separated from the White House at this point. Even those who voted for Joe Biden in 2020 and will again vote for him in 2024. All Americans have a very serious interest in Israel routing Hamas.
Yeah.
because the kind of energy or the idea that somehow the Palestinians are going to uproot Israel will create a kind of will create a parallel revolution here in the United States and create profound unease in the United States. But of course, this is what happens in the Muslim world all the time. When there's any idea that some vicious fantasy may be fulfilled, the streets are filled with lunatics.
They're filled.
That's what's happening here.
That's
here in the United States. And look, we have to admit, frankly, that this is not simply the fault of Joe Biden or even Barack Obama. Decades worth of American policymakers in coordination with various religious charities, Christian as well as Jewish, have pushed people across American borders, and they simply don't belong here, right? So this isn't just Biden and Obama. This is Republicans and Democrats as well as religious charities.
Exactly.
We're going to have to ask ourselves what purpose it serves that there are, how many thousands of Hezbollah supporters in Michigan with U.S. passports? How does that make America a better place? Well, it doesn't.
That's where the fight is. Again, you throw Israel $14 billion in addition to $50 billion for Ukraine. That's going to perpetuate this abusive relationship that's not going to allow them to rout their enemies. They need to be unleashed to rout them. And I like your point, because never forget, people went out into the streets before Israel even responded. They responded to the slaughter of the Jews. It's when their side is winning militarily, they feel inspired. When they're defeated is precisely when we're stronger. But we got to do it smart, and we got to do it without these false dichotomies on the right. I appreciate your work. Where could people find out more from your work and look forward to your next writing?
Well, hopefully I'll have another tablet piece sometime in the next day or so. I'm working on one now to put on paper or put on computer, put on screen the different things that you and I spoke about, Daniel, today. So thanks very much for bringing me on and giving me a chance to air them out.
Well, at Lee Smith DC on Twitter, thanks so much. Looking forward to having you back again. Take care.
Thanks, Daniel.
So, folks, that was Lee Smith of Tablet Magazine. Again, brilliant thinker. Not everything is what it appears. And it's really hard to emotionally recognize this, although for those of you who fully understand what this government's doing on the border and what they did during COVID, it's not hard to understand how evil they are. They side with evil. They side with bad people. They want good people dead. And the central point of what the Biden administration's doing in the Middle East is basically just disemboweling Israel. They're doing it from within politically. They're doing it militarily. So what they want is that Israel cannot fight for itself. And to give the impression, you need us to fight for you. So what they're doing is they're setting them up to be surrounded by enemies. The Biden administration sicks the dogs on them, then says, hey, you can only respond in the way we say you could respond. You could defend yourself only in the way we say you could defend yourself. So if the response to this is, okay, we just absolutely, it's an emergency, we need to give Israel $14 billion. Does that help or enhance Biden's plan? Okay, there's a reason why the Biden administration will wholeheartedly sign such a bill. And by the way, they would sign such a bill even as a standalone. Now, they're holding it hostage a little bit because they want the Ukraine funding, and also because the GOP paid for it by cutting the IRS in the original bill, and that's why they opposed it. If they would have just a straight-up deficit spending bill on Israel, I believe the Dems would sign it. And for exactly what Lee was saying, because it just perpetuates the abuse. There's no point. You could give them $1 trillion, but the issue is that the Biden administration is a client state of Iran. They're the comm shop for Iran. So it's not a money issue. It's a policy issue. It's very similar to the border in that respect. So this is where it needs to happen. You know, I'm reading right now, there's a GOP aide that's texted Olivia Beavers. She is the Politico Capitol Hill correspondent after Massey made his announcement. Quote, this is from like a leadership staffer. If we can't do something as simple and as obvious to protect democracy abroad, we don't deserve the majority. In one generation from the party of Reagan that defeated communism to the party of effing stupid. So like, this is what bothers them. It doesn't bother them what the Biden administration is doing to Israel. The fact that we have spies in the Biden administration, the fact that we have the Muslim Brotherhood, the fifth column in the U.S. It's just Israel needs the money. Ukraine needs the money. And it's just that's effing stupid. Again, this is a very serious issue. But the fake GOP, the WNBA part of the Uniparty, is creating a false dichotomy of what needs to be done about it. It's not a foreign aid issue. It's an immigration issue. It's a Muslim Brotherhood issue. It's a strategic alliance issue. It's a diplomatic cover issue. It's funding the bad guys. We don't need foreign aid bills. We need defund bills. And ultimately, this has been debated for many years, but now it's abundantly clear that Israel needs to be charted on a course of independence. In other words, what I would probably do is I would take the original bill that Republicans passed to give Israel $14 billion in aid by and cut funding to the IRS, obviously no Ukraine in it. But I would tack on a provision to basically abrogate all the previous defense agreements going forward and freeing up Israel to develop their own weapon systems. That's ultimately what needs to happen. And it's just a reality. Like Lee was saying, it's, you know, we could talk about the Biden administration, but both Republican and Democrat administrations used it to tie Israel's hands. Let's not forget that we precariously fling out our troops throughout the Middle East where they shouldn't be for no reason, and then we hamstring Israel that they can't defend their own sovereignty because it might harm our troops, but then we shouldn't put those troops there to begin with. And then Israel gets, you know, blamed for like, oh, we're fighting for them, and then people on the right start buying it. Yeah, we're fighting wars for Israel. Where it's really the opposite. This whole thing is so messed up. But the leverage should be on things like going after Qatar, going after the Lebanese armed forces, defunding the PLO, defunding the Iran deal, designating the Muslim Brotherhood, and prohibiting their organizations from operating within our government. And of course, if you care about the Jewish people, the single biggest threat, very evidently, are the Muslims we bring in to America. Remember, American Jews, Jews living in America and certainly Europe, are less safe than those living in Israel, ironically, because, you know, there they have a security apparatus set up where they lived with that since its founding, whereas here, they're sitting ducks. We got millions of these people here. So this is a serious issue. The problem is, because of the stupidity of Johnson, you have people like Tucker go reactionary on you and almost like side with Iran and Hamas and make it like Israel is the problem. No. The problem is the Islamic government of America and then the stupidity of the WNBA version of playing ball with that. And that's why we need motion to vacate immediately. But in order to get that, there's one man who we need to fight for his support. You know who that man is. Let me know your comments, questions, concerns. Daniel Hurwitz at startmail.com is the email. Till tomorrow, God bless y'all, and thank you for listening.